Vous avez remarqué? Les Jeux Olympiques et Paralympiques approchent à grands pas. Ça va être un moment génial, de fête, de célébration évidemment. Et je ne sais pas dans vos cercles, mais de mon côté, une bonne partie de mes amis parisiens préparent leurs vacances d'été et se posent la question de mettre leur appartement sur Airbnb à cette occasion. Ça pourrait financer au moins en partie leurs vacances, alors ça tombe sous le sens qu'ils y pensent. De mon côté, c'est certain, je serai à Lisbonne, donc mon appartement parisien, dont je suis propriétaire, sera sur Airbnb pour cet été, pendant les Jeux Olympiques et Paralympiques. D'ailleurs, ça me permettra de financer, en partie, mes vacances. Et vous? Imaginez ce que vous pourriez faire avec ce supplément de revenus. En réalité, votre logement pourrait rapporter plus que vous ne le pensez. Découvrez combien sur airbnb.fr/hôte. C'est airbnb.fr/hôte, H-O-T-E. Allez, place à l'épisode maintenant.
I very rarely do episode in English because, well, Vlan is a French podcast, as you know. However, there are questions that I'm wondering all the time, like why are so many people experiencing mental health issues? What is happening with politics on the local but also on the international scene? How did we arrive in a situation where the world seems so binary when we all know it's super complex and nuanced? Is our society collapsing? How can we find meaning in life? How can we reduce our anxiety? And what should we do? In this episode, we are discussing all those very deep and important questions and many more with my guest, Jamie Will. Jamie is the founder of the Flow Genome Project and the author of Recapture the Rapture, which I simply loved. That's why I decided to do this episode in English because, well, I rarely read book that describes so well the situation we are in right now and explain the solutions that are accessible for all of us. To me, it's really a must read if you can read English. But from now on, and to convince you, I invite you to listen to our conversation with Jamie. Allez, Vlan, c'est parti.
Hi, everyone. Hi, Jamie. How are you doing?
Great.
Great. How did you wake up this morning? Were you in a desire to save or to enjoy the world?
Goodness gracious. I think I just woke up this morning and I was just heading downstairs to a nicely fresh brewed pot of coffee and then I would see what happens. So I might go out and savor the world on a paddleboard.
That's a good plan. I'm saying that because that's one of the sentences of your book, basically, that we have this desire sometimes to save the world and then also the desire to enjoy what the world is bringing us in the Occidental world. I would not argue that it's the same for everyone, obviously. That's why I was asking. I would love to understand what is your vision of the society today? And it's very interesting because in France, the situation is that the extremism is rising, both left and right.
Yeah.
And we feel like it's very specific to France, but it's not. It's actually the same pretty much everywhere. So I would like to understand, what is your vision of the society today?
Yeah, I mean, and I think it's what you just said is critical for anyone trying to sort of really have their fingers on the pulse of what's happening, because I'm blown away by how frequently people simply fixate on the sins of the opposition. So if you are a progressive, you become absolutely obsessed with what's happening in the alt-right. If you're a conservative, you become absolutely obsessed with what's happening with woke social justice. And really, they are both just symptoms of a bigger, more pervasive thing, which is arguably our meaning crisis. And the only reason that we have had this intensive polarization is that the consensus worldview, which used to include and contain both liberal and conservative positions, you know, it's the history of European thought, it is the post-World War II general kind of American peace, you know, and broad consensus. It was the move towards global transnational cooperation and participation. It was the support of fundamentally pro-social civil rights and humanist values, meaning that even if we don't quite always do this, a brown life halfway around the world is actually supposed to mean as much as a white life closer to home. And that even if we're not there yet, we're trying to get to a place of broad human equality. That entire sort of neoliberal, secular, humanist narrative has just collapsed. And it's collapsed not just because, it's sort of collapsed on both legs, right? There's sort of two pillars that held up our modern worldview. And the first one was organized religion, mm-hmm. you know, which, you know, if you think about it, for all of human civilization and predating civilization, right? It was our shamans and then our priests and bishops and rabbis and imams that told us what was a good life, what was our place in it, and how ought we act. And in the, you know, late 20th century to early 21st century, you had the sort of new atheists like Christopher Hitchens and Sam Harris, you know, and folks like that, Richard Dawkins, right? Like sort of actually gleefully marking the demise of organized religion, you know, and they were thinking that, you know, religion was the opiate of the masses. Religion was infantilizing. It was filled with impossible superstitions and just so stories and sort of good riddance to bad rubbish. And now we're all going to march into modernity together and we will be fundamentally effective altruists, you know, as secular rationalists. Mm-hmm. And that will be us growing up. But they really did skip what Nietzsche cautioned about, where he said, you know, because everybody remembers his bumper sticker, God is dead, mm-hmm. right? The idea of the collapse of the demystification of religion that came with the French Enlightenment, that came with rationalism, empiricism, the scientific method. Mm-hmm. But he said, hey, because this is in Thus Spake Zarathustra, right? This is, and the rest of his paragraph is the everything of that quote. He says, God is dead. And hey, friends and neighbors, be really, really careful when you murder your gods. Because when you kill your gods, you rip out of the social fabric all of your morality and all of your ethics. Don't for a second think that humans are actually as kind as we are when we're at our best and on our knees praying to a higher power. Mm-hmm. And so pillar one has been the collapse in organized religion. And in the last couple of decades, everybody's been tracking this, but the Pew Research Foundation in North America has been doing this. Western Europe's numbers are actually, I think, a little further ahead of the curve, right? You guys sort of went through your existentialism and despair after World War II and sort of grew, you know, shook off the cobwebs, where America has always had a more intense, experiential religiosity to it. But even now, the nuns, none of the above. I don't affiliate mm-hmm. with an organized institution at all. I'm spiritual, but not religious. I'm agnostic. I'm atheist, whatever it might be, is now not only the fastest growing demographic segment, it's also the largest for the first time in human history ever. You know, you just think about that. 100,000 years of Homo sapiens, we always bowed to our gods. And if you didn't, you were a heretic, an apostate, a barbarian, a pagan. You were subhuman. Right? Mm-hmm. And cast out, right? So now that group, none of the above is the largest rising ever. So we've killed Nietzsche's God. We've ripped out all of that, how ought I live? What is my place in the world and how ought I be? And that's one pillar that's gone down, you know, and with the burning of Notre Dame, right, the church scandals, rippling around